Welcome to Dealer Driven, where the rubber meets the road to success. This episode sponsored by Carfax.
Carfax data shows that in the first year after a car purchase, 55% of car buyers won't return to the same dealer for service. The Carfax Lifetime Solution gives you the power of Carfax as a trusted source to compel your buyers to return for service. Contact your Carfax rep today.
Welcome to Dealer Driven. I'm Michael Hayes.
And I'm Cameron Wilson. Artificial intelligence, AI, is one of today's buzziest buzzwords. But beyond the hype, what does it really mean for our members? And more importantly, how can it help your team work smarter, save time, and drive better results?
Joining us today is someone who's been helping dealers navigate that question in real time. Andy Seidenman, an instructor here at NADA Academy and an expert in modern retailing, dealer website management, and CRM implementation.
Andy's here to separate fact from fiction, share how dealers can start putting AI to work in their stores today, and give us a glimpse of what's next in this very fast-moving space.
Let's get started.
Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Andy, let's start with the basics. I think we all agree AI gets thrown around a lot days. It means all kinds of things. It's like anybody wants to improve their marketing, they attach AI to it. From your perspective, what exactly is artificial intelligence and what's this marketing buzz?
Well, wow. You know what, Michael? That is a great, great place to start. I think, you know, if I had to classify it in one way, you know, the word AI gets tossed around like confetti right now. So I think in truth, if we look at it, it's what a lot of people call artificial intelligence. It's actually really just smart automation and or good software design. So when we talk about AI or real AI, we're talking about systems that don't just follow up, they learn. They learn from data, they adapt to new situations, they start making informed decisions without someone having to hard code every single move that it makes. So think of it like the difference between cruise control and adaptive cruise control, for instance. One holds your speed, but it also adjusts dynamically to traffic situations. So when you hear vendors say things like, our platform uses AI, sometimes it's legit, but a lot of times it's marketing gloss, you know, like spreadsheets with rules. So there's a test that I usually use. It's kind of simple. If the system gets better with experience, that's AI. If it just does it faster, that's automation.
So Andy, when we talk about AI in the dealership, what kinds of problems can it actually help solve today? And as a follow-up, I know that all of our members are probably using ChatGPT or Grok or Claude or Copilot. What information should our members avoid putting in unprotected large language models like those?
Yeah, that's where it gets exciting, Cameron, because AI isn't just theory anymore. It's already solving real dealership challenges. Things like looking at pattern recognition, analyzing inventory movement, pricing shifts, even shopper behavior. So managers are freed up to make faster decisions, smarter decisions. On the marketing side, it automates ad targeting, creative testing, and budget allocation. Work that used to take a full-time analyst now can be done in seconds. So the common thread's this. AI helps us turn data overload into things like decision clarity. It's not replacing people. It's just freeing them up to do things like more important things. You know, things like making connections, for instance, customer experience, or just simple outreach. So now, Cameron, to your second point, which is a great one. What to avoid feeding into these public AI models? Anything personal, identifiable, or proprietary. So that means no customer names, no VIN numbers, no deal numbers, and certainly no financial data. So public models are great for ideas and training, but not for dealership data, period. Keep that always behind firewalls and secure compliant systems.
Customers seem to be getting a little bit more concerned about privacy of information now than what it was a few years ago. So thanks for saying that. You know, you teach Academy students how to simulate customer instructions and trade-in scenarios using all these different AI tools. Can you walk us through how to get started with that? Like, you know, what prompts, what platform should dealers experiment with first based on your experience?
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. That's a great one. So it's actually one of my favorite parts to teach in the Academy. It's taken AI from just theory to something that we can really put our hands onto. So I tell students simply this, start small. You don't need a big tech stack. You don't need a six-figure platform. Just a simple conversational AI model can simulate a lot of real-world customer interactions if you give it the right context. So here's a prompt to try. Try this. Act as a customer trading in a 2020 Tacoma with a little bit of miles and some negative equity. I'm the sales manager, and I'm trying to appraise it and negotiate fairly. You literally can run it like a role play. Let the AI, whatever it's using, push back, throw out some objections, and which allows real-time coaching with your staff. The AI may hesitate. It could ask questions, you know, just like a real customer. The cool thing is it's safe. It's repeatable. It's in that format that can't hurt anything. So it's, in a way, it's there to sharpen your tone, sharpen your empathy, and handle, use objection handling techniques. Once you get comfortable with those types of things, those simplistic types of exercises, then you can expand into other more advanced platforms, things of any type of current CRM integrated AI tools that are available. But the key is simple. It's this. It's all about mindset. If you treat AI and the systems like a training partner or a thinking partner, they never get tired. They're always going to be there to give you reps no matter what you ask.
Just like most sales managers I know.
Right.
So, Andy, I know that you also have students create targeted vehicle ads using AI to boost the SRP to VDP conversions. How does that exercise illustrate the real-world potential for AI for marketing and sales?
Oh, boy, Cameron, that is literally the light-up moment. You can see the lights happening in the room. So here's the example. You know, we'll take a vehicle, say a 2021 F-150, for instance, and instead of just writing one ad, right, one generic ad, we'll use a chatbot and AI to create multiple versions of that same vehicle, different ad that are aimed at different personas, different buying categories. It's pretty amazing what that does. So one ad might target a contractor, for instance, who's looking at that truck for towing and payload, for instance. But another ad might be written that would speak to a family that's not totally focused on safety and tech. So it really kind of fine-tunes the tone. It fine-tunes keywords. It finds emotional hooks. It even sets up call to actions. It's not just copywriting anymore. It's actually precision storytelling, as I like to call it, but at scale. So if you combine all of these things, if you combine its writing ability, combine it with the data that you have in your CRM, website analytics, SRP to VDP conversions, whoop, through the roof all the time. Because literally every ad, you're creating it to speak directly to the shopper's click motivation. So that's the moment when dealers start to see, wow, this isn't just the future. This is true, real ROI in place.
That's great. And we know how much Google prizes being unique too. And again, you can make it unique when you do the right prompting, as you said earlier. I'd love to get into one of the more technical but very important distinctions, agentic versus logarithmic AI. Andy, can you explain what these terms mean and maybe give examples of how vendors are already using agentic AI in their solutions?
Great question. Logarithmic AI is what most of us have already been using and used often. You know, it's pattern-based, it's predictive, it's analytical. It looks, again, backward for correlations and predicts outcomes. That's all it really does. Things like vAuto and Market IQ are two to name a thing. But when it comes to, you know, when you think about pricing tools, they analyze millions of data points. They suggest then optimal pricing based on that data. That's literally logarithmic AI. It's data-driven. It's reactive. But agentic AI is a little different. It's proactive. It doesn't just analyze data. It actually acts on that data. It has reasoning loops built in. It plans. It executes. It adjusts. You see this with platforms that can automatically shift ad budgets, rewrite creative, like Impel, for instance, and Market IQ. So when performance dips, it will just automatically adjust. So inventory tools already testing this, that features that will automatically make these adjustments automatically, just based on market thresholds. As long as they're placed in there, the AI agents will adjust those accordingly. So the short version, simply logarithmic AI, I like to say, analyzes and advises, where agentic AI analyzes and then acts. So that shift, that simple shift from insight to action, that's what's redefining the next generation of dealership tech stacks right in front of our eyes.
While competitors focus on sales, smart dealers build relationships with the Carfax Lifetime Solution. With transparency at every stage of the consumer lifecycle, Carfax dealers turn buybacks into buyers. Build your advantage with your Carfax rep today.
So let's lean into the practical side a little bit more. And I think you mentioned it a little bit earlier, the idea that we're not using AI to replace people, but to aid them with research and process execution. So what are some of the most useful ways team members can start doing that right now without spending a fortune on new fancy tools?
Yeah, exactly. Boy, money talks, doesn't it? So this is where AI really becomes the productivity partner, if you will, as long as you start considering it your research assistant, research partner, process co-pilot, if you will. I've heard these terms thrown around in certain circles. You know, sales managers or BDC reps can use ChatGPT, Claude, Copilot, all are really good at summarizing reviews, for instance, analyzing CRM notes, researching comparable vehicles. I've actually asked, what trends do you see in my unsold leads in a CRM over the last 60 days and allow you to get insights just in a matter of snapping a finger? You know, marketing, they use AI to draft ad copy or create social captions and then humanize it. Human in the loop, if you will, is a big phrase of mine. Fixed ops, analyzing repair orders and spot repeat issues, allowing for scheduling bottlenecks and maybe stocking parts a little bit better. The key is no massive investments really needed, just curiosity and a willingness to try. Start small, one workflow, one prompt, one person. Let the results speak for themselves and you'll have fun with it.
So you mentioned earlier, Andy, about, you know, things not to do, like, you know, personal information, financial information, things like that for privacy issues and all. But like if we're using it within the dealership, what kind of guardrails can a dealer put on it so that people don't do it? Because occasionally somebody in our store might go a little rogue or something like that. So what are the things that we can protect ourselves from that and still be able to use and feel good about it using AI to do all the things that you're talking about in a store?
Yeah, you know, that's a good one because that can be dangerous. So yeah, you know, I believe that the best case scenarios, best case is you want guardrails, you don't want gates. So first, I would build a simple internal policy, just what's okay to use, what's off limits, no PII, no VINs, no deal data. Next, create an approved prompt template library for things maybe like ad writing, maybe customer replies, service follow-ups. That keeps messaging consistent and it keeps it safe. We always want consistency. We always want safety. The third, and probably one of the most important, especially now, is appoint an AI champion, somebody that's trusted, somebody that is an early adopter who can simply test, can share wins with the team, and then step in to train others. And finally, always have a human in the loop. Review AI output every time before you make it public, before it goes public. Treat it like a draft, always, from a new team member. Let that balance between exploration and responsibility keep motivation healthy and innovation healthy.
Andy, what was it? I think you said once AI is kind of like a 10-year-old that's not being watched. So you got to make sure that you're watching the 10-year-old, right?
Yes, you framed that up very properly. It's like a 10-year-old and the internet. You got to watch what they're doing every step of the way. And this is really no different. It's like the 10-year-old because it is so new. We have to make sure that we're inspecting what we expect.
Perfect. So what's your favorite, let's call it tiny automation or small AI use case that saves hours each month, but dealers probably aren't even thinking about it?
Okay, this is my favorite question because literally Michael is the one that got me into this first off. It was 2 years ago and I went to the Osotacon and he sprung on me, well, I want you to give me notes on all the things you went to. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, there somebody told me about this note-taking AI app. And that was the first time I used it and fell in love with it. So that is my first is use it for note-taking. Like note-taking is very, very important. It's not just note-taking. Summarizing a meeting, finding the talking points, who's responsible for what, takes a 20-minute meeting and makes it into a 2-minute debrief, if you will.
So looking a bit ahead again, what are some of the biggest opportunities you think for AI and dealership operations over the next few years, above and beyond even the things we're thinking about now or doing now, should I say?
Yeah, you know, Michael, this is where it gets really exciting. In the next few years, I kind of believe that AI just becomes the OS, the operating system of the stores that embrace and that lean in. You know, the three big areas that I see this being part of: one, predictive operations. It's tools that forecast turn, forecast demand, forecast cost, helping dealers buy smarter and not having to react after the fact. Intelligent process automation, for instance, reconditioning systems. Imagine a reconditioning system that can automatically assign work based on technician productivity and skill. F&I tools that perhaps can pre-populate compliant forms. And most importantly, connected customer systems, customer experiences, CRMs that understand and proactively design the entire ownership journey, complete with customer interactions based on trade, service, upgrade, all the different things that are going to be proactively and predictive based on data. And then being able to reach out at that perfect moment with that perfect message to attach right to the customer's brain. So the best part frees people up. It frees people up to do what we do best, and that's storytelling and building trust. That's the future. It's more tech, but it's also more human.
Sure, I'm thinking about my used car jeans are coming out again. I'm thinking about the reconditioning side and going, okay, which reconditioning actually creates more value so we can get off Bob saying, just do it all because customers are going to pay for it.
Right.
So, Andy, before we go, if we always ask this question, if a dealer wanted to take one small step today, what's something they can do right now to use AI effectively in the dealership?
So I would say this: start small. Let's start right now. Pick a process, maybe one that frustrates your team, and then make it something repetitive, something that's manual currently. Invite AI in. Invite it to be part of the solution. Maybe it's rewriting used car descriptions. Maybe it's cleaning up CRM data. Maybe it's summarizing inventory changes. Then, most importantly, get your team involved. Experiment with it together. Share what works. Refine prompts. So once your people see it's not here to take their job, it's here to help their busy work, take their busy work away, what you'll see is buy-in at levels you've never seen before. So start safe, start curious. You'll build momentum faster than you can even imagine.
Great. Thank you, Andy. And I think descriptions are a great way to start, because when you read most of the descriptions out there, it doesn't look like they spent a lot of time thinking about them.
So no.
There's a lot of room there. Thank you. You know, Andy, this has been an incredible conversation. We want to thank you for breaking down such a big, fast-moving topic into practical, dealer-ready insights. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Cameron. Really appreciate the opportunity. You know, what excites me probably the most about this topic is that we're having these conversations inside of the National Automobile Dealers Association, because this is where leadership happens first. AI isn't the future, not anymore. It's the present. And the dealers, I feel, that are going to lean in now, they're the ones that are going to define what automotive retail looks like for the next decade.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thanks again to our guest, Andy Seidenman, for joining us. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a rating or a review and tell a friend. Once again, I'm Michael Hayes.
And I'm Cameron Wilson. This has been Dealer Driven from NADA. Keep your dealership in drive, and we'll see you next time.